Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
You can be seated. Now you know I'm going to do this. Put your hand on your heart. Say, good afternoon, Father.
Good afternoon, Father.
Good afternoon, Jesus.
Good afternoon, Jesus.
Good afternoon, Holy Spirit.
Good afternoon, Holy Spirit.
This is your beloved,
Marilyn.
You said your name? Are you his beloved?
Marilyn.
Well, he just calls you that 42 times in the New Testament. So look at the person on your right. Say, I know something powerful about you. You're his beloved. Amen. And we are. We're his beloved. It just seems to me the worship in the last 6 years even has become so focused on Jesus, just loving Jesus. Do you feel that way? It used to be kind of on, I don't know how to say this, maybe on performance, but I think it's more on the person of Jesus. And I see it all over the world. I go to this crazy church in Singapore where Joseph Prince is. They just have 42,000 people. Isn't that pitiful? And they just focus on Jesus, their worship, you know, the teaching, everything, and reaching, of course, the lost. Now, this afternoon is very powerful and very important and can totally change your life and can change your community, your family, because what you're going to see is who Jesus is now to you. So point to yourself, say who Jesus is to me. And that's very important because the Gospel of John has the seven I ams of Jesus. Now, he didn't say, I have been. He didn't say, I will be. He said, I am. So I love this. Usually people who say who they are, you know, they say it first and then you say, well, demonstrate, show me. Is that really true? And so then they demonstrate, maybe, right? But Jesus demonstrated and then said, I am. So let's see who he demonstrates to and through. Because in John 2, we see he goes to a wedding. I like this. His first miracle was at a wedding. And he told the servants, because they ran out of wine, he said, go fill the water pots with water. And when they drew out the water, it was wine. Is that true? So did he demonstrate? You know, and I always think, what did that wedding party do with all that wine? That was gallons of wine. I think they sold it for their honeymoon. That's my revelation. So now in John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine. He can take very ordinary things and turn them into the miraculous. But I notice the people who get involved with the miracle are the servants. And this is very key to us because I think sometimes as women we think, well, I have to clean the house, I have to take care of the children, I have to cook the meals, I have to shop, I have to do all these things. And we feel like we are servants, which we are a lot. But I noticed servants all through this gospel are the ones who get involved in the miraculous. And one time, we were flying, we were flying into Atlanta, and there was a lot of turbulence, and the woman across the aisle from me was vomiting. And so the Lord said to me, help her get off the plane, you know, because, you know, she's sick, to carry her bag for her. So I said to her when we landed, I'd like to help you. You know, I can carry your bag, and I'm not in a hurry. I can go to the luggage. She said, if I needed help, I'd ask the stewardess. So I get off the plane and think, did I hear the voice of God? And I'm walking across the pavement, and I don't have this happen a lot, but it was like the glory of God hit me. And I thought, I'm going to fall and roll. They say I'm a holy roller. I really am going to be one. And I said to the Lord, why are you blessing me like that? That woman didn't even listen to me. He said, but you listened to me. Oh, oh. And I take Proverbs 20, I believe it's verse 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye the Lord gives, that I hear him and how to serve. Now, I want you to look at another place, because if you look in John 4, you're going to see another demonstration. And the thing I see that works in countries is the demonstration of healing. If you read the Gospels, healing is the dinner bell. If you go to a Muslim country, healing is the dinner bell. You go to a Buddhist country, healing is the dinner bell. Atheist country, healing is the dinner bell. Demonstration. Everybody say demonstration. So a man comes to Jesus, my son is sick, would you please come heal him? And Jesus said, no, go your way, your son lives. Now that man could have run home to see, but we find out he didn't go home till the next day. And when he got home, his son was healed and the family was saved. Now, Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, you're getting it, the truth and the life. And so the man went his way, believed the truth, and his son got the life. Everybody say, demonstration.
Demonstration.
And Jesus demonstrates. So then if you go to John 5, and I need somebody who could lie down on the platform. Who would volunteer? You want to come? Okay, good. Because you're going to be my helper. And thank you. So in John 5, Jesus goes to the pool of Bethesda, which means mercy. So do you mind lying down? Thank you. Okay, good. And just stay there till I tell you to get up. So he sees this man, you know, who's been there 38 years. He's a chronic. I want to tell you today, Jesus heals chronics. Don't ever say, I can't be healed, I'm a chronic. I've been prayed for all this time, nothing happened. Honey, it can happen any moment. Don't give up because of chronic. So Jesus said, do you want to be whole? And the man is looking for an angel. The man is looking, you know, for someone to put him in the water. And Jesus says, take up your bed and walk. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to try and get up. Would you do that? Just try, struggle, and then get up. Now, often healing is a process, right? So would you stand all the way up? I believe that man struggled. And then of all things, Jesus says, okay, pick up your bed and walk. That means you have to get back down. Would you bend back down? And you have to pick up your bed. And now you have to carry yourself and the bed, right? Is this a process? And so I want you to know, Jesus then said, I am the door in John 10, which is saying, I am the door to a miracle. So it wasn't an angel, right? It wasn't a person. Who's the door to your miracle? Well, stand up. Let's pray. Thank you very much. No, I mean, stand up. Let's believe for your miracle. Come on, people. You're people of faith, I can tell. Women are crazy faith. Yeah. Okay, put your hand on your heart. Say, Father, I know that Jesus is the door to the miraculous in my life. Every day, I live in the miraculous. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So then, I love John 6, but this was a hard chapter for me to memorize. It's like 63 verses. It's such a long, long chapter. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now, in that, he gave a demonstration. So he had a little boy who gave 5 loaves and 2 fish. But when it got into Jesus' hands, it multiplied, right? And it fed 5,000 people. not counting women and children, right? So what I put into his hand can multiply. And then he said, I am the bread of life. Now, I'm going to tell you something crazy, Faith, and you may not believe me, but it's the truth. So put your hand on your heart. Say, I believe you. I trust you. You're too old to tell a lie or exaggerate. So I went to Uganda to hold a healing meeting. It wasn't my meeting, it was somebody else's. And they said to me, you know, we will give you we'll pay your expenses, give you an honorarium of $1,500. And so we had the meeting. And when it's time to leave, they said, oh, we don't know how to tell you this, but we don't have $1,500. We can only give you $1,000. And so I said, that is not a problem at all. I just sow that other $500. That's in Uganda. Now listen to me, you've got to trust me. Put your hand on your heart again. Say, I really trust you.
I really trust you.
In 3 years, a woman from Uganda sent me a $1 million check. You don't know, when you put something in the hand of Jesus, how he's going to multiply it. Did that little boy know, oh, my 5 loaves and 2 fish are going to feed 5,000 people? Did he know that, what is the date? 8th? 9th? The 9th? The 9th of September, 2,000 women would be here and hear about him again? See, you don't know how far what you release can be. He isn't, I will be the bread of life. He is the bread of life. Say, today,
he is.
Now, when you go on, then you see, you know, that he stills the storm and he demonstrates. He constantly demonstrates. And probably his biggest demonstration is when he goes to the tomb of Lazarus. Do you remember how many days Lazarus was dead? He was dead 4 days in the tomb, right? And remember, Jesus held off, that he knew he was sick and he didn't come, because I think he wanted a greater miracle. And sometimes I have found things I just want God to do, come on, get it done, and it doesn't happen, and because he has something bigger and better. So he goes to the tomb of Lazarus, and he says, Lazarus, come forth. But before he did that, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, folks, we say a lot of times, well, you know, I'm getting older, and when you get older, you don't have as much energy. That's junk and trash. Don't start saying that. That's not true. I have more energy in my 80s than in my 50s, so don't give me that stuff. And so we say what we see the world say, but we should say what he says. I am the resurrection and the life. So stand up. Now, I found out something about Moses. Remember Moses? God said, throw a stick in the water, and the water became sweet. And then Moses did what God said. That was kind of an act in the natural. And that water was sweet, and he got a revelation of God. Folks, I find when you find out that Jesus is this and not will be or has been, you get a revelation. And so he throws the stick in the water, and the water becomes sweet, and then he gets a revelation. And my passion for you in this whole conference is to have a revelation of Jesus, who he is to you, how much he loves you. And so he throws the stick in the water becomes sweet, but he sees a revelation of Jesus, really, because he calls him Jehovah Rapha. Everybody say Jehovah Rapha. Now, I know what you think that is, but you're wrong. You think he's the Lord, your healer. Everybody say healer. No, he's not. He's the Lord, your health. Why should you not believe for health for all the days of your life? Amen? Now watch what happens. Moses got that name, and he lived to 120, and 120 is pretty old, and his natural force was not abated, and his eye was not dimmed, because the Lord is his health. So put your hand on your head. Say, Father, I'm sending health into my body. As my days are, so shall my strength be. So these beautiful seven I Ams that he has, you know, he's the door. He's the bread of life. He's not I will be, he is now. And so I think that's so key for us, keeping Jesus now, the now Jesus. Everybody say the now Jesus. And sometimes, and you can be seated, sometimes I think, well, if you're now, I sure am tired. If you're life now and health now. So one time when I was actually in Pakistan, you know, I said to the Lord, I am so tired, you know. And on top of that, I have jet lag. And I have to get up here, and there are 100,000 people here tonight. Oh! And this is what the Lord said to me. I'm not, and it's not your name that's going to heal them. It's my name. And so we have his name. You say, well, I can't handle this child. They're driving me crazy. Well, his name can. Or I can't handle this circumstance that I'm in with a mate. Well, his name can. And so pull his name out. It's the name above all names. And it's not for the future, it's not just for the past. What did he say? I am. He is the great I am in all of our situations and all of our places. So, you know, in a few moments, we're going to do questions and answers. So I want you to pray for me that I give Holy Ghost answers. No, I'm very serious. And every day, and that's why I told you to get that little book of confessions, I say, I have the mind of Christ. Every day, I say I'm surrounded with favor. Now, I think the people who love me the most are sinners, because I love sinners, and sinners love me. And so I see that when you make these strong faith confessions, you may feel not spiritual. You want to go kick the dog. Blah, dishes in the sink. Blah, the mess. You know, but folks, it's not what you feel. It's what he says. Amen? And so that's why I encourage you, get that, but don't just get it. You know, it's thin. It'll fit in the front of your Bible. But do it. Everybody say, do it. Speak those promises every day. They are so key for your life. So the great I Ams in the Gospel of John are for every believer. And it's not just in the future. And then the last thing I want to talk to about multiplying, and then we're going to have our questions and answers, is a hilarious time I had in Egypt. Now, I'm going back to Egypt in December because we're having a big meeting in Cairo and in another city. And here I got to meet with Egyptian people who helped setting it up while I've been here. So that's very encouraging. But the last time I was in Egypt, we did something. We had a whole day-long time, ministry time for just leaders. And so we had them sign up, and we had 2,500 people sign up. So what do you buy for 2,500 people? Kentucky Fried Chicken, because they had the most of that. So we get 2,500 boxes of Kentucky Fried Chicken, but 5,000 people showed up. Oh. Now, this is not my faith, but these Egyptian Christians went in, and they looked and said, oh, we just have 2,500 boxes, and we have 5,000 people out there. They said, Jesus, if you can multiply loaves and fish, you can multiply Kentucky Fried Chicken. And we had 5,000 boxes. Amen. Why? Because he is. Everybody say, he is. And so we're not looking at what he will be. We're looking at who he is today. And I say this every day. I have the mind of Christ, because sometimes I don't think like that. And I say to him every day, Jesus has made into me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And so some of these things don't look that way. I may not be acting that way, but my speaking, my faith brings me into that kind of, what can I say, an arena. So you want to live an arena of faith. Am I right? So stand up. Turn around. Say, I believe.
I live.
In an arena of faith. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Now, of all people I have to work with on this is Deborah Begay. Oh, what a pain. Deborah, come up here. If you watch our telecast, you'll see her on a lot. She's one of our favorite guests. Now, Deborah, don't ask me hard questions.
I'm going to ask you the hardest questions I can think of.
Well, first turn your mic on.
Knock, knock, knock. Live, live.
This should be working. Look, are they cute? They don't know what they're doing. Let me help you. Okay, we're going to do this. You can't turn your back too much on the rest of the audience. Okay. We have to rearrange furniture. It's a woman's event.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
You can't turn too much because they want to see. Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. Are you going
to see? Let's organize. I'm still organizing them. Okay, you guys got it? Are you all okay?
Yes.
Okay. See, this is impromptu. We didn't know we were going to do it.
No.
So, hi, Marilyn.
Hi.
Are you going to start? Well, let me just say more about Marilyn that you didn't hear in the introduction, because she is on and over 100 countries every day. How many of you know that? I didn't think you knew that. Her audience is over 200 million a day. She's on 5 days a week. So we don't have just anybody here. We have a legend. And I just want you to know that. Okay. Okay. I'll start. Marilyn, have you ever, and I know you have, but this is a women's conference. Have you experienced, and how have you, I should really ask, how have you dealt with gender discrimination? Do you get an attitude? Do you tell them off?
No. So I'll tell you, some years ago, you know, and I was on some television, nothing big, but a man wrote to me from Florida and said, if I could get permission for you to go to Budapest, Hungary, which was under the Russians at that time, to speak, would you be willing to do one of the Jesus encounters, you know, the one I told you need to get? And so I said, well, yes, I would. So he wrote, and the pastor said, he called his elders together, and they prayed, and they said no. Now, do you just accept no? No. I felt God wanted me to go. So I wrote to this man in Florida. He probably thought, good night, what's wrong with this lady? I said, ask them to pray again, because I feel led to go. So don't just accept a closed door. Give me a break. You know, keep knocking. So they wrote again, and they said, they prayed about it. They said, okay, let her come. So I went. This was in 1989. They had 700 people. I was just there in June. They have 125,000 people, and they're some of my best friends.
Wow.
So look at someone. Say, honey. Jesus said yes.
Jesus said yes.
You need to say yes.
You need to say yes.
Keep knocking.
That's great. Marilyn, when you were here with the ISOM conference last year, you shared a testimony with me in the office about how you started, and you said you were very shy, and I would like to ask a question. How did you start in the ministry? How did someone that was shy become the person that has been in all these nations and done all that you've done?
I was very shy. I was a school teacher, but, you know, I could teach in school, high school, junior high. but to speak in a church or do anything. So my husband would always push me. You need to get up and say something. I don't want to say anything. Yes, you have something to say. So, I think I do. I don't know where it is. And so he really encouraged me. And then I wanted to reach people. And I was teaching junior high, so we started a Bible study with pizza in our home once a week. And these students from my class would come and get saved and spirit-filled, some spirit-filled under our dining room table. And it was that process of just teaching. And then when I began to do home Bible studies, and then they said, you know, you need to go on the radio. So everything is a process. Put your hand on your heart again. Say, don't forget. Everything is a process. Yes, I was very shy, and I don't know why I'm so bold now.
But I mean, to the point where she talked and she told us that when the church service was over, she would go into the car, lock the doors, and roll up the windows so she wouldn't have to talk to anyone as a pastor's wife. So it just is amazing to me that God took someone that was so painfully shy and is reaching the world. And did God put the world in your heart? It was a process. How did you break through the shyness the first time? Was it hard?
Well, my husband never let me do that. I mean, I'd roll the windows up, he'd come and lock the door and say, get out, you have to be friendly.
This is part B of the story.
Yeah. So I had a husband who pushed me. He didn't know what shyness was. And so, and this is a positive. So when my ministry began to grow and my name became well known, people would say to him, well, what do you think of your wife's ministry? He said, it's not her ministry, it's ours.
I love it.
Worked for good.
Marilyn, now you speak of the support you had from Wally, but there are a lot of ladies out there who just don't have that kind of support. What do you say to a woman whose husband may be the thing that's holding her back? And how far should this submission thing go? Should we just tell him where to go?
No, slap them. No. I made a decision when things began to grow and I began to have invitations. I will not do anything without my husband's consent. So I submitted. And, you know, I'm glad I submitted. There were some things he didn't want me to do. Thank God I didn't do them. I could have gotten into trouble. But, you know, he was a person of prayer. He was a person of faith. And so it was a good thing. But this is what I think. If God is calling you to do something and your husband says no, God is big enough to change your husband. So if he's big enough to call you, he's big enough to teach your husband or talk to him.
Can you tell that story, share that story you related to us about your mom and how her husband, your dad,
oh,
I suppose,
goodness,
didn't want her to go to church?
Yes. Yeah. My father had a total mental breakdown. I would have been about 19 or 20. My mother had gotten spirit-filled, and my father was so bad, he said, I don't want you to go to church, I don't want you to read your Bible, and if you do, I'm going to kill you. So one night I came home from a date, and my father was in the kitchen, and he was walking back and forth. He was very angry. He said, where is your mother? And I lied. I knew she was at church. I said, I don't know. He said, I know. She's at church. I told her if she went to that church again, I'd kill her. He also told her the same thing about reading her Bible. So about that time, my mother came in. My father said, where have you been? She was so calm. She said, to church. He said, I told you if you went to that church, I'd kill you. So he ran over and got a knife and started toward my mother. Now, I saw this, and he started at her with the knife, and she said, in Jesus' name, drop that knife. And when he dropped the knife, he fell and stuck to the floor, and he couldn't get up. And he said, I can't get up. She said, you'll never get up if you don't let me go to church and read my Bible. He said, okay. And my father got saved.
Wow. Wow. I don't know what to say. Oh, wow. I'm speechless. Marilyn, you spoke so beautifully this morning about Joseph and the process of the dream. And what if you are one of the girls that you don't have a dream, or maybe your dream has been partially fulfilled, or you're in a different stage of life? How do you hear from God and find out what He wants you to do? What did you do?
I think it's very important to look at where you're successful, where you're comfortable, what you do that, you know, seems to make you feel good. But what I did, I was 45. My husband's a pastor. Of course, pastor's wife's very busy. You know, I'm involved in radio. And I thought, you know, God, I come under my husband's call. But are you calling me? So I only fasted for 24 hours. And the Lord said to me, Isaiah 11:9, I've called you to cover the earth with the word. So I would encourage you, take some time to pray and say, God, what do you want me to do? Now, I didn't run out and do that right away, because everything with God is a process. So put your hand on your heart again. Say, I won't forget. When I pray, God hears me, tells me, but it's a process. Amen.
Marilyn, you mentioned fasting. Now, that's a law of spiritual discipline for the most part. And 24 hours was enough. I think there are probably many of us who say, well, if I can't fast 7 days or 3 days, why bother? Can you just kind of expound on that a little bit, the importance of fasting, even if it's for a short period of time?
Well, my husband would go on 40-day fasts. Ugh. If I fasted 3 days, I thought I'll die. I'll just die. And so I had to get a fasting style for my life. So what I did, because fasting was so hard on me, I would fast 7 meals a week. Or 7 meals, maybe, you know, 1 meal a day or 2 meals, and I did it that way. Now, my daughter, Sarah, you see on television, she goes on long fasts like her father did. But I didn't do that. That was very hard for me. So I think you have to find what's good for you. Yeah.
And Marilyn, can you tell us, what is the benefit of fasting?
I think fasting makes you more sensitive to hear God's voice. I think sometimes we fast when we don't know what to do with a mate or a child or a job situation or even health, you know. So we fast to draw close to Him. And I have found in fasting, it does draw you closer to Him. You're more sensitive to His voice.
Wow. You know, CBS did a special on your work in Pakistan recently. How do you get those kind of supernatural doors to open? I know the first time I got called to be on your program, I thought it was a prank call. And I said, somebody just trying to mess with me. But you've made a big impact on my career and all. But what have you done? What was the turning point in your getting the big break to be Marilyn Hickey?
You know, it's the small steps. I didn't start there. I started with 7 women in a home over a cup of coffee and a cookie and a Bible. And so, again, it's those steps. And you know, to this day, I still love home Bible studies, because there's just something about the intimacy of that. So it's process in your life. And CBS saw what you saw, the video this morning. They saw that and said, we would like to go to Pakistan and do a special. Now, when they went, and J.B. Brown, who is a sportscaster, went, and another man named Alvin, who is a producer, when they went, you know, we didn't know if they would be spiritual. And they were both born again and very turned on. And then it had to go through the okay of all of CBS leadership. And their top leadership is Jewish. And we didn't know if, you know, we're raving about Jesus, if this is going to be cool. And he thought it was the best.
Wow.
So
favor.
Those are things that don't, and that was unexpected. I never expected that from CBS.
Wow. Awesome.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Do it again.
Oh, Marilyn, what a life. Marilyn, I have a question. How do you talk to us in the privately, and you were telling us that you were with T.L. and Daisy Osborne, and they taught you how to pray for the sick. And you said it was simple. Could you go through that? Would it be possible for you to go through that process with all of us?
Yes.
That's great.
Put your hands out. Say, there's healing. And miracles,
and miracles
in my hands.
In my hands.
Amen?
Amen?
That's what the Bible says. Believers lay hands on the sick. Well, the Osbournes told me you can always have people healed. It's very simple. You can have a healing service. You can do it in 3 minutes. You can do it in 20 minutes. You can do it in any country. So I want you to be involved in healing the sick. Because I think we think, oh, you have to be so spiritual. So what they said to me is, and this is so simple. They said, hear from the Lord what you want to pray for. So let's say we want to pray for someone who has hearing problems. So that you get a testimony. Maybe you've been healed of a hearing problem. So you share your testimony. You know, I had ringing in my ears. I got prayer. Now both my ears are clear. So you give a testimony. Everybody say testimony. And then you have people stand up who have hearing problems. Okay? And then you pray for Jesus to heal them. And I do the Psalm 107:20. He sent his word to heal them. Then you say, how many of you can tell a difference? Don't just let them sit down. Check yourself. So wave if you can tell a difference. So they wave. And then you say, all of you who are waving, I want you to come up here and give a testimony. Now, you may not want to take all of them because usually you have too many. So I did this in Solo, Indonesia. We had 1,000 cell leaders come to the meeting. They wanted me to teach them how to heal the sick in the cells. So this woman, I'm getting people to act it out, she came up and told how she had a hearing problem, how Jesus had healed her. So then she said, everybody with a hearing problem, stand up. So they stood up and, you know, we extended our hands toward them. We prayed for healing. And so then she said, how many of you can tell a difference? So some of them waved, but a man way at the back came running to the front. He said, I didn't know this was a church service. I'm a Muslim, and I hear these terrible, filthy voices talking to me all the time. I can't stand it. And I told my brother, I can't go on. And something said, go into this building, because you're not allowed to have a cross on a building in Indonesia. And he came in, and she had people stand up for hearing problems, and he got totally free and got born again. Wow. Now, could I just take one thing for? Okay, how many of you have been healed of growths or tumors? You've had a growth or a tumor, you've been healed. Okay, I want one of you to come up, maybe the closest one right here. Come up, yes, please, stand up. You have glasses on? Okay, come on up. Now, what begins to happen to you is when you start seeing special miracles. Come on up on the platform. I'll just take one because of our timing, if you'll hold that. What happens to you, you have faith for others. Okay, so tell me how you got healed.
Well, I've been healed more than once. I've had breast tumors twice that I've been healed from. When I first started coming to this church, I came up for healing, and I was healed from a breast tumor. And the last time was probably 2 months ago. I had a mammogram, and they said there's something wrong, which our whole family has breast cancer, so I'm not afraid of it. But when I went in, I just said, okay, Lord, whatever you want, but I'm still going to serve you no matter what happens. So I had to go back for a special mammogram, and after that, an ultrasound. So they did the special mammogram, and she said, go in this room and wait, and I said, okay. So when I was in the room waiting, she came and said, you can get dressed and leave. And I said, I don't understand. You're going to do an ultrasound. She said, well, me and the doctor were looking at the screen, and in front of our eyes, it disappeared.
Okay. Let's demonstrate. a tumor of any kind, any growth, warts, whatever. Stand up. Stand up. See, there's a good place to lose weight. Come to a women's conference. Okay, now, if you can do this, put your hand on where it is. And maybe you have, I had a woman who had 26 tumors in her breast that disappeared. And it was in Detroit, Michigan, not in another country. Now, all of you seated, you need to be healing the sick, so extend your hand towards somebody who's standing. I want your faith. You've got great faith, I can feel it. Now, I want you to pray, and I want you to lead them in prayer that are seated with their hand out.
Okay.
Okay, get ready. Okay, pray now.
Dear Father God in heaven, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just ask a blessing over each and every woman that's seated here in this home today, Lord. I pray that you would let them know who they are in your eyes, Lord, and what the power they have in them, that they can do anything you can do, Lord. And all you ask is that we have the faith of a mustard seed, Lord. I just thank you for everything you've done in my life. And I know that we have disappointments in our lives and things, Lord, but it's for your glory. Everything is for your glory. And when we come out at the other side, Lord, it's going to be so much stronger, our faith in you. Lord, just continue to bless our families and let us be examples to all the generations coming up, Lord, that we have the power that you gave in us, Lord. Let us lead them with a mighty, mighty faith and strength, Lord. We just thank you for everything you're doing in our lives. Thank you for the blessings you bestow on us, Lord, every day. Amen.
Amen. Now, don't sit down. Those of you who are standing, don't sit down. I want you to check yourself. Is the growth gone? Is it smaller? Did it change color? Just check yourself. I did this in one of our Wednesday night services, and my husband had a wart on his eyelid, and it fell on the floor.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, did you pick it up? He said, no, the janitor will get it tomorrow. Okay, now if you can tell a difference right now, wave at us. Wait, look over here. I'm looking around. I can't always see everything. Check yourself now. Look for your miracle. Look for your miracle. You're waving. I'm looking. I'm looking. Are there others that I'm not seeing? Help me with this.
I see one over here.
Over here?
There's two.
Okay.
Here.
Good. Over here. Yes, I see that. Okay, you can put your hands down. Now, how many of you who stood, you don't see a difference? Wave at me. No difference. Does that mean you're not healed?
No.
Folks, we need to stay in the process. Because sometimes healing is a process.
Yes.
Oral Roberts told me the miracles that follow the prayer several days later are bigger than the ones you get.
Yes.
And so all of you are healed. Some of you had a manifestation right here, but some of you are in process. I had a twisted spine. They say they can't do anything. And I had to sleep on the floor. I was in so much pain. So every day I would thank God that I was healed. And I would get up and had pain. My husband had laid hands on me. And I just kept thanking him. I stayed in the process. One morning I stood up. Now I get checkups. They say, you have the most wonderful spine. Well, I have a new one. God has spare parts in heaven.
Amen.
So stay in the process of faith.
Amen.
Thank you.
You're beautiful, Marilyn.
Thank you.
Yes. We have one last question, and then we're going to end the session. But this is a question that I would call last words. You are 86 years old. God has used you all over the earth. And many of us, like myself, who have followed you and been led by you and heard you, and you've mentored me in your messages, you don't know me. If you were never going to come back here, and if you knew this was your last words to us, what would you say to the women here at The Rock and to all of us?
Okay, I'm going to tell you what God gave me when I was 12 years old. I was not born again. I was in a little town in Pennsylvania. So all the churches were in a certain 5 or 6 blocks. And I was hungry for God. And so I said, God, where are you? Are you in the Lutheran church? are you in the Presbyterian? I want to be where you are. And he said to me, I'm in the Word. And from 12 years old, I started reading the Word. Then when I got born again, I went bananas over the Word. I'd like to pray for you to have a hunger for the Word more than your desire for coffee, hamburgers, mashed potatoes, and gravy. So put your hand on your heart. Say, Father, make me hungry for your Word more than anything. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I want to close this by just giving scripture to sections, okay?
Absolutely. Can we just say thank you to Marilyn?
Proverbs 6:22, this section, just this. That's for you. Proverbs 6:22, say it.
Proverbs 6:22.
Okay, it says, when you walk, the Word will guide you. No, when you wake up, the Word will talk to you. When you sleep, the Word will keep you. And when you walk, the Word will guide you.
Wow.
So three times a day, you're going to have a hunger for the Bible. You better get it on your phone. Wow. I want to give this section a scripture.
Was that for that both sections right there?
That's for all of that section. Yeah, both of those.
Right, right.
Both of those. This section, stand up. Okay. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. And 8 says, for the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So you will keep the devil away if you cast your cares on the Lord. He can't chew on you. So put up both your hands, all these sections. Say, bye-bye cares.
Bye-bye cares.
Jesus has my cares.
Jesus has my cares.
And my miracles.
And my miracles.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, these two sections, would you stand up? Now, this is what comes to me in Psalm 138:8. He's perfecting that concerns you. You are concerned about what's coming. But God says he's got it under control. So put your hand on your heart. Say, I'm not going to worry. What's in the future? God is perfecting that. Putting in divine order what he has for me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So if I can just close and share what's back at the table. Is that okay?
Anything.
Anything. Oh, dear. I might want to do my exercises. Isn't exercise disgusting? I have to exercise. And I'll tell you, the best part of it is when it's over. At the back, don't forget, if you don't have the Jesus encounter, that's the most serious thing I have.
Yes.
That is so serious. Because you see who Jesus is in every book of the Bible. Now, as you behold him, you're changed into his image, and you go from glory to glory. If you want to go from glory to glory, behold Jesus in every book of the Bible. So don't forget to stop back there. And I think this, you know, we buy gifts for people. We buy them candy. You make them fat. You give them flowers. They wilt. Give them God's word. Yeah. Change their lives.
Amen. Can we just point our hands at Marilyn and pronounce a blessing upon her?
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just decree that you will satisfy her continually with long life and health, that every need is met, that all of her prayers are answered for her own family. We know that she's making a sacrifice to be here today.
Yes.
So thank you, Lord. Thank you for her consistency, her faithfulness to you, and for her passion for the Word. And we thank you that she's imparted it to us, and we will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Lord, may we stand with me? I want you to point your hands. And let's lift our hands as a body of Christ and as women. Let's just reach them out to Marilyn.
Yes.
Let's ask God for the impossible.
Yes.
Lord, we stand here as women at the Rock Church from many different churches and from all over the Inland Empire. And we stand in agreement, and we thank you for bringing Marilyn to us. Thank you for ministering through her. And Lord, now we are asking that as she has so beautifully sown into this field, that Lord, you would allow her to reap in harvest fields that she's not yet been in. We ask Almighty God that you would do the impossible, that you would hear the cry of the women in Iran, the cry of the women in the Arab nations that have not allowed her in. We ask God that you'd send a shield of favor about her, and Lord God, that your righteousness and your armor would go before her, and you would open doors that only you can open, and you would protect her and give her great boldness and great favor, that you would hide her under your great and mighty arms. And Lord God Almighty, we are asking that you open these nations to the gospel. Open them to Marilyn Hickey. Open them to her, to her message, Lord. Open doors that only you can open. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and we ask it that you protect her and that you surround her with mighty men and women that will help her, Father, financially and physically in everything that she does. And we bless her, as Deborah said, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be a part of her life during this day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.